Okay, let's continue on prayerfully as we move through this. And next thing to help us in communicating truth is organization. It is far easier to receive an organized message than a disorganized one. It is far easier to remember an organized message than a disorganized one. All right, this is just kind of a weird example, but if I had some truth to give you, and the truth was in the shape of a blob, like this, okay? I could give you that blob of truth, or I could trim it down, and I want you to think of a square that is inside that blob, right? Got to use our imaginations here. And instead of giving you the blob, I just give you that square of information, which contains more information, the blob or the square?
The blob.
But which will you remember more and which will you take in easier? The square. This is what you need to do. This is what you need to do when it comes to communicating truth. You must limit what you say in order for it to be organized and deliverable and easy to be received. Okay? You need to limit, not just limit, but limit and organize what you say in order for it to be easily received and remembered. Resumes. Now, you people that have seen this last year, you can just enjoy it. Resumes. Do they tend to be packed as full as possible with information, or do they tend to be very organized?
Organized.
They're very organized. Why do they organize them that way in resumes? You can get much more information on the page without having organization to it. But even though, this is the key bullet right here, even though more information would be there, less information would be conveyed. Which would you rather have? To speak more information or to convey more information?
Convey
more information. What if it meant speaking less information if more information were conveyed? Would you do it?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what we need to do. Amen, brother. Amen. All right. Now, you can't see this, but here is text of all of these accomplishments of a person. Java, Unix, scripting, solid knowledge of SQL, TCL, Objective-C. I don't even know if I got to the right line. Fortran, extensive, multi-platform, multi-technology, and integration skills, expert practice of CVS, branching, training, and other development support tools, make, compilers, linkers, XDMAX, whatever that is. Well, whatever all of it is. Sorry. Contrast that with this style. Name, job objective, this. Summary of qualifications, this. Professional experience, this. Which one contains more information? First one. In which one is more information conveyed to a quick reader? You are going to make the reader go to all kinds of pain to get information out of this. And what's the difference between a resume and a message, by the way? This is important. In a message, once you speak it, they cannot go back to look at it again. At least in the resume, if you handed this in, somebody who is crazy enough to actually try and figure it out could take the time and do it. But in a message, you can't go back. Once it's been said, it's gone, right? So you have to make sure that you limit your information and organize it in a way so that it's easily conveyed and easily taken in. You got it? All right. So make your messages like this. What do you notice about this side? Tell me some things you notice. Yeah.
There's indentations.
Indentations, that is groupings of material. Yeah.
A lot of white space.
A lot of white space. This is good. Anything else?
Headers.
Headers. Exactly. You know exactly which section you're in, right? Okay. Do you, have you ever... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I can't tell from here, but it looks like it's not sentences, it's just bullet points. So
oh, right.
You glance at one line and just get the gist of that line.
Yes, very easy to be received lines, not cluttered with a lot of extra detail. Yeah. How many of you would like to, in the messages you hear, at any point of the message, know which section of the message you're in? It's really, really helpful. Right? If you can give a message, and all you did were two things. Make people remember the main point, and at any time in the message, they knew where they were. They knew what section they were in and where they're going. I think you've accomplished a lot. And you've probably done it more effectively than 3/4 of the speakers. All right, we're going to do only this section, by the way, because I see we're organizing the food back there. So let's talk about the organized message then. Give, how do you do this? You're going to give a map of your message up front. You're going to tell them what you're going to do. This means that some of your message is your message. And some of your message is talking about your message. You got it? Think of it, let's say it again now. Some of your message is your message. And some of your message, you're going to be talking about your message. That's your meta message or something, I don't know. So, when I say... All right. In this morning's session, we're going to look at the Lord's second trip to Jerusalem. Have I even spoken any of the truth of the Word of God yet? No, I'm merely talking about what I'm going to talk about, right? And you're giving the hearer the context. Now, if I was going through the first trip of the Lord to Jerusalem, how many basic stories were in there?
Four.
Four, very good. Okay, what were the references? 2:13 to the end of 4. Okay, good. Now, if I wanted to go through those four stories in quickly in one lesson, what would I do? I'm now going to talk about the first trip of the Lord to Jerusalem that's recorded in John. What am I going to say next?
There are four stories in the first trip.
There are four stories in this trip, in the first trip. That now, have I still given any truth of the Word of God yet? No, but I've told the people that they're going to, they know what they're getting. They're getting trip one. And they know that, well, they don't know anything about it yet, but they know that they're going to have a series of four stories coming up. Right? Okay, what's the next thing I'm going to do?
Basically tell what the stories are.
I may tell them what all of the stories are. Okay? And I may even say, okay, let's get the titles of these stories. There's the cleansing of the temple, the story of Nicodemus, the story of the woman at the well, the healing of the nobleman's son. 1, 2, 3, 4. There they are. Okay? Somebody, you could have somebody that has never studied the Bible before. They've come in, they've sat down. Right now, they're where everybody else is. They know, they don't know the Bible, but they know they're going to get four stories. And these four stories are what happened on one trip of the Lord to Jerusalem. Okay? Now you go back, and before jumping into the first story, you now tell them what you're going to do. You say, okay, now we're going to look at the first story. That one was, and you repeat the title, the cleansing of the temple. And here's what happened. Now you go into the truth of God's word, right? You tell them what happened. And what do you do when you get to the end of it? Look at the resume. What do you do when you get to the end of it? You give some white space, and you say, "All right." You may even change your tone of voice. You may even put your hands up. You may even put your hands onto the lectern like you finished thing. You know. All right. That's the first story. Now we're going to look at the second story. We looked at the first story. That was the cleansing of the temple. But now we're going to look at the second story. And this one is the talking to Nicodemus. And then you go into that. You want to make these transitions very blatant, very clear. You want to take valuable message time to do it. Is space on a resume valuable? Yes. That real estate is expensive real estate. And yet, in spite of it being expensive, you still use up white space and bold, larger font. Because you know it is so valuable that your information be organized. The same is true in a message. When you come to, you want to make sure that everybody there, if they were yanked out of that room and somebody on the outside says, "Where is he in his message?" You want them to be able to give the answer. He's in the middle of the second story. There are four stories. He's in the middle of the second one. How many of you would love to know that during messages?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you've got it. It's essential. All right? You get to the end of the second, say, "Wow, we've been through two stories. We have two to go." That reminds them, there's four. That's right. Okay? Third story. Okay? All right. Give them a map. Look at... in Philippians, well, no, let's not do Philippians 2. In 1 Peter 3:15, you don't need to turn to, well, you can turn to it. The verse reads, somebody quote it for me. But it's the "but sanctify" verse. But, no, I mean, you're an NASB person, aren't you?
Yeah.
All right. NASB, "but sanctify Christ as Lord in your..." "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." And be, go ahead.
"Always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you."
Now, I won't be able to quote it as I know it, but anyway. "So sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to everyone who asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." That I gave a message on that once. It was one of the first messages I ever gave. It was 15 minutes long. And I gave information. I started information. I ended. It was one of the first messages I gave, and I was with Jabe at the time. He was much younger. I was much younger. And I asked him afterwards. I, you know, he didn't come and, you know, "Okay, son, let me tell you." You know, no. I went to him. I said, "Look, I want to get better, and I want help. I mean, I, you know, get me something that." You heard that little message. "Give me something that I could make it better with." So he was very gracious. And he said, "Well, sometimes it's helpful to give a map ahead of time. Tell them where you're going. So, a Godward look. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." That's between me and God, right? Or, as NASB puts it, "Christ is Lord in your hearts." Okay? Then there's a manward look. "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to every man, any person who asks you a reason of the hope that's in you." Right? Now it's interacting with you. First was interacting with you and God. Next is interacting you and man. And then it says, and do this with meekness and fear. Now it's an inward look. Right? So it's a Godward look, a manward look, and then an inward look. So he suggested this, and because that was a lot of the information I was giving, and that's kind of how the verse is broken down, right? Well, I did this when I was in Michigan with Jabe. So I went home and I beefed it up into an entire message. I added material and so on. Now I'm going to speak at my home assembly, but I remembered to do this. And so at the beginning, I read the verse, and I said, "Here's what we're going to see in this verse. We're going to see the beginning... this, that, one, two, three. And then I did this and I went through. Now, let's do the first one. And my brother came to me afterwards and he said the way that message was laid out, I mean, it made all the difference. He really talked about that and said that it's so helpful and how it's easy to sit there and follow. So go ahead and do this. I have to tell you one thing about, how many remember Joe Paul? Okay. Joe Paul was here last year. He can't be here. He's had a baby. They've had a baby, by the way. So he went to speak at Lansdowne Assembly near Philadelphia. And it was shortly after Bucket Week. And he said, I'm gonna put these things into practice. He said, I'm going to do it rigidly, whether it seems to make sense or not. It was almost an experiment. I mean, I'm going to go through all these things and I'm going to make sure I do them all in line. He really planned this out. So he goes to Lansdowne to speak. Now, two people were there, Joyce Corey and Rhonda Corey. How many remember Joyce Corey? Right. She was here. Rhonda is her sister. She was not here. They're both listening to the message. Joyce, having been here, knows exactly what Joe Paul is doing because she recognizes them. Oh, now, aha, aha. She's like following everything she does. Rhonda has no idea what he's doing. End of the message, Rhonda turns to Joyce and says, you know what? My mind never wandered through that whole message. And Joyce is like, Joyce knew what was going on. But he held them all the way through. So Joe Paul told me that he implemented these things or whatever. So a month and a half later, I see Harold Young, who's in fellowship there. Young Harold Young, if you happen to know them, there's father and son. I saw the son. I said, yeah, I heard Joe Paul was up there speaking at your meeting. And he's like, yeah. I said, do you remember what he spoke on? And he's like, yeah. And he told me what he spoke on, and he said, wait a minute. One, two, three. He gave me the three key points. And that was like 6 weeks later, and it was there. It was in his mind. So, all right. Avoid the temptation to be like a magician. A magician doesn't tell what's coming, but instead hides what's next until it happens. So everybody says, aha. All right. Now, I did this early on. When we were going through John 1, I started putting up creation. Then I put up the next one, which was Moses and the law. Then the next one, which was the prophets. Then Calvin. And I didn't tell you that I'm moving through time. And I eventually said it. Well, first of all, maybe I should have said it at the beginning. Maybe it would have been better. I don't know. But the reason I thought I could get away with it was that I was actually putting them up on the board so that I knew nobody would lose track of where we're going. And I thought maybe that helped. So, all right, make the transitions from one section to another and so on. Tell them at the beginning where you're going. Just go ahead and give it up. Tell them what you're going to do. And then take them through it. That way, when a person's mind wanders in and out a little bit, they come back and they say, okay, I may not know exactly where he is, but I know where he's going, and I see where this is fitting in. All right, got it. Okay. Avoid giving tidbits of information that don't belong. Don't give all the information you know on the subject. Don't turn to a verse that is going to do more to draw people away from the point than to help it. There are times when you want to turn to a passage. There are times when you simply want to reference them and quote them. Don't read more verses than are necessary. Read surgically. Because you want their mind exactly on the point you're trying to be on. Not on the context before and after. If you need it, just say quickly, okay, this is when he's there. Okay, this is the verse. Boom. And in fact, you may not even want to read all of the verse. Just concentrate on that one strategic thing you're after, just to keep people's minds, because people get confused easily.